Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as if working a minimum wage job isn't tough enough in a city as expensive as this one, a new report finds that low-wage workers are routinely getting their wages stolen by their employers and are experiencing a host of other labor law violations as well. Annetta Bernhardt, co-author of the new report called Working Without Laws, joins me now to tell us more about their findings. She's the policy co-director at the National Employment Law Project. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks so much.
Also joining me is Carolina Ferreira, a former retail worker and member of the Retail Action Project, which is part of the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union. Carolina, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Annetta, you joined us back in the fall to talk about the national results of your research. You've now come out with New York-specific data. You sampled 1,400 workers in low-wage industries. Who are we talking about here, first of all? What industries did you focus on?
It's the full range of industries and occupations that, in our minds, really make our city run. It's home care workers, dishwashers, construction workers, cashiers, laundry workers, garment workers, security guards, janitors, basically every job that you can think of that's providing a service or producing a good in the city, that's who we sampled.
And to start with the very most basic, minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. But you found that about a fifth of workers sampled were paid less than the minimum wage?
That's right, 21%. And at that point, actually, the minimum wage was a little bit lower. But just actually to give your listeners a sense of how that works, one of the things that we found is that a lot of these workers are being paid flat weekly wages. And so a going rate at that time, for example, was $300 flat weekly for up to 60, 70 hours a week. And if you do the math, you're talking the result is $4 to $5 an hour. So that's one of the ways that you get to, you know, one in five workers being paid less than the minimum wage.
Carolina, you're an immigrant from Argentina. You used to work at Madness Clothing on Canal Street, which is part of the Mystique Boutique retail chain. And you're here partly to talk about your own experiences. What kinds of violations did you experience there?
Well, I experienced basically overtime, no overtime. And I witnessed most of my coworkers not getting minimum wage and also their overtime.
And, you know, and I don't know about your experience and I don't know those employers and they may deny this, but this is your claim anyway. And what exactly did your employers do if they were not paying overtime as required by law? If they were not paying minimum wages required by law, how did they get away with that?
Basically because nobody knew. Nobody knows their rights. So, and the majority were immigrants or teenagers, you know, and we had no idea. I had no idea that I was supposed to get overtime and the minimum wage was $7.25.
But didn't workers try to organize there at some point?
Well, if you tried to do something, I mean, if they found out, you would obviously get fired or punished.
Listeners, any low-wage workers out there who want to call in and tell us about your experiences? Some of the other things in the findings, maybe this hits home with you. 51% of workers were underpaid by more than a dollar an hour. More than a third worked more than 40 hours in the previous week, but most were not paid the legally required overtime. Lots of workers' comp, tip, and meal break violations. About a quarter of the workers had at some point made a complaint or tried to organize. Of those, 42% said they experienced some form of illegal employer retaliation. Foreign-born workers were found twice as likely as their U.S.-born counterparts to suffer some of these things. Also, women and people of color make up the majority of the group of people who say their rights are being violated at work. Any of these things sound like things that happened to you? What did you try to do about it? What should they try to do about it? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Annetta, what recourse do people have? What should workers do if they think their employers are violating these basic wage and hour rights?
One thing they can do is they can go to the New York State Department of Labor, which actually since 2007 with the new administration has been doing a really great job of responding to workers and really going into the low-wage sectors where there are problems. I have a number, if that would be useful to your listeners, that folks can call. It's 1-888-52-LABOR, L-A-B-O-R. And then there's also a great network of legal services providers around the city who are really dedicated to helping low-wage workers who may not have enough money to hire, you know, a private bar lawyer to pursue these cases. And there I would point your listeners to the Legal Aid website, which is www.legal-aid.org. And there's lots of different centers across the city where they can go. And then the only other thing I would mention is the other great thing about New York City and what gives us a lot of hope is there's a lot of really great community groups and immigrant worker centers organizing around these issues. And some of them focus on specific industries. There's also unions who are trying to really address these violations. So that's another way that workers can get involved.
Carolina, how did you get help?
Well, I got involved with a Retail Action Project, which is a community-based labor organization, and they helped me, first of all, know my rights, then let my coworkers know their rights and organize.
Ricardo in Nassau County, you're on WNYC. Hello, Ricardo.
Oh, hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I'd just like to say something, that I am a professor right now, and I put myself through college waiting tables. And I noticed that I still have a lot of friends nowadays who wait tables in New York City. And a change in the market has happened, where nowadays it's very, very common that employers don't pay waiters at all, just let them keep their tips. I know, for example, one place called Brazil Grill on 8th Avenue, that's what they've done to a lot of my friends. And the workers are in a position, as the lady's talking about, if they say anything, they lose their jobs.
Thank you for your call. And again, you know, we can't vouch for the veracity of any claim that a caller makes on the show about a particular business. But Annetta, as a trend, I mean, it's already a different set of laws for waiters and waitresses, right? They don't have to be paid minimum wage. It's something much less than that, and then they can make tips. Can they legally be paid nothing other than their tips?
No, they can't. And so in New York State, there's a tipped worker minimum wage. It's lower than the full worker minimum wage. But regardless of what the tipped worker makes in tips, the employer still has to pay. And I think at the point of our survey, it was $4.65 an hour. And we found in our sample that of tipped workers, 37% were not receiving the tipped worker minimum wage. This is absolutely becoming standard practice. There was just a case last week that the New York State DOL did where baggers in Seatown supermarkets were not receiving any wages at all and were basically living on $125 a week in tips.
Cassandra in Bushwick, you're on WNYC. Hello, Cassandra.
Hi there. I had a boyfriend who worked at an Indian restaurant in Murray Hill called Tiffin Walla. And the workers there were often paid about $400 a week, and they were working between 60 to 70 hours a week, and then their tips were kept by the boss. Whether you put the tips on the table or gave them directly to the worker or put them in a shared tip jar at the counter that you thought was distributed amongst the waiters, all of that actually went back to the owner. Additionally, I wanted to mention Restaurant Opportunity Center. I believe you've had them on the show before, mm-hmm. but basically they educate restaurant workers on their rights about minimum wage, about overtime, and they help to organize workers, and they've brought lawsuits against some major restaurant chains in the city, forcing them to pay back pay to their workers.
Cassandra, thanks for reminding us and the listeners about that. And Roy in Edison, you're on WNYC. Hello, Roy.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
So, you know, I told the story about a few years back where I asked one of the workers to organize, but he was more worried about, you know, losing his immigration status. He said that, you know, we might win, but we may not be protected from immigration point of view. So is there anything which law can help about?
Carolina, you're an immigrant. Does this sound familiar?
Yeah, I mean, I was personally threatened. Well, not personally, but... and there's actually nothing... People shouldn't be worried about that. There's nothing they can do regarding that.
Wait, if an employee, let's say an employee is undocumented, and I don't know how broad this goes along the spectrum of immigrants, but to start with people who are undocumented, an employer can threaten to turn that person over to immigration, right?
Yeah, it's very common. I mean, I figure it's the major threat, and that's how they kept us, in silence. But when I went to the Retail Action Project and I started talking, to them, they talked to lawyers, and there was actually nothing they could do towards them. When there's a labor case going on like this, immigration doesn't get involved. So,
and I guess an employer is on shaky ground going to the federal government and saying, I hired this illegal immigrant, and she.
Yeah.
But
so
there's more to this story, right?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that though the threat is very real, and some undocumented workers may be here for 3 months and have no social networks that they can draw on. And I think this is the critical point about how to combat wage theft is, yes, we need workers coming in with cases and we need more organizing, but it can't just rest on the backs of workers to address this problem. And we really need a strong enforcement by the state, whether it's a state DOL or the U.S. DOL. We need all those pieces coming together.
And thank you, Roy and Edison. But for workers' rights in general, I mean, whether or not you're an immigrant, for someone who advocates for workers' rights, what do you think, Carolina, that the city needs to do to protect people from employers who are, breaking the law by violating their rights when you're afraid of retaliation?
Well, I think, I'm nobody to say this, of course, but they should be, tougher, definitely. They're getting away with so many things, and it's just terrible.
I think it's common for people working in retail, as you did, to just kind of put up with it because it's so commonplace that you figure, well, everyone is dealing with this, so it's just the way it is.
Oh, yeah. That's the way you go with it. Exactly. And, we support each other, okay, it's going to be over soon. We're going to be out of here, it's no worries. But it's actually a really big problem.
Yeah, I think it was a big problem for Ren in Brooklyn. Ren, you're on WNYC.
Hello. I was just going to make a comment as far as local retailers just kind of take advantage of their employees that way because they kind of rely on their complacence. They kind of wait for, if anyone brings anything up, as I tried to do, I got fired. I mean, I was talking to other managers about overtime compensation and how we weren't getting it, and everyone seemed to agree with me, so I brought it up to my next in line above me, and before I knew it, the next day I was fired.
Why did they say you were being fired?
Basically, because they were afraid that I was trying to cause a manager strike.
Right.
And, I wasn't trying to do that. I was just bringing up an issue. And meanwhile, my girlfriend and another friend of mine from the same place I was working at have litigation out between not getting compensated for their time they put in for their employer. I feel like employees typically are being kind of taken advantage of because they employers know that there are 100 people with resumes on the other side of the door that they can hire immediately. They can just fire someone that speaks up and hire another person.
Ren, thank you. And especially in this economy, and Annetta, your report actually was compiled in 2008, right, these statistics, though you just released them now. So I imagine all these pressures on workers are even greater than before.
They absolutely are. I mean, we conducted it the survey at the beginning of 2008, and that's before unemployment really took off. Everything we hear from the ground is that workers are now getting pressured more and more for come in, work off the clock. We're not going to pay you, but if you don't put up with it, we'll hire somebody else. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing is it's not necessarily showing up in official statistics because, again, workers are scared to come forward or don't have any other job options. But that's definitely something we're hearing from on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, when I used to work in, first of all, I used to work in Madness Boutique, which is a chain of stores on Broadway. And then I went to work for the competition. When I was fired, the competition is called Necessary. There I started officially organizing the workers, and I was fired because of that. And I was surprised to see, these people that they're like so humble. We have like nothing to lose. That's why when you incentivize workers and you tell them their rights and what you could accomplish, you'd be surprised how many mobilize.
And one more time, I'm going to say, I don't know if you were really fired for organizing, and they may deny it, and I have no way of verifying that claim against a particular employer. But John on our webpage says this is liberals applying standards from big business to mom-and-pop stores, causing them to go out of business and losing jobs. Annetta?
First, I think it's really important to know that these violations are happening both in small employers and large employers. This is not a small employer problem. We found that even among big firms, 55% of the workers weren't getting paid overtime. And in terms of putting people out of business, we also found that there's employers that aren't violating the law. It is still possible to be competitive and pay the minimum wage and pay overtime. These are laws we put into place at the beginning of the last century, and we can't decide now we're going to waive them because it's a recession. I think it is possible for a lot of these employers to be competitive. And one quick thing I would just mention, you had talked about, you know, what can the city do? There's a great example where the mayor's office partnered up with the Restaurant Opportunities Center of New York and put together a restaurant employer's manual and held monthly trainings for small restaurant employers, startups, saying here are the basics, your legal obligations, and we're going to help you figure out how to meet them.
We're just about out of time, and we're going to go on to our next segment with advice for Toyota owners on what to do now if you own one of those cars that may have a faulty gas pedal. But quick reminder that next hour in our program, speaking of low-wage jobs, we're going to have a call-in for artists on how you survive your day job. We have the author of a really fun new book about that, named Summer Pierre. And so that's coming up, Artists with Low-Wage Jobs. Just give that phone number one more time before you go if people want help, and remind us what that is.
The New York State Department of Labor, 1-888-52-LABOR. And that's their hotline for wage theft cases.
I also wanted to remind your listeners that we are having together with the Retail Action Project, we are having a march on Broadway this Wednesday, tomorrow, from 4 to 6. It's called the March Against Poverty Wage and Wage Theft in Soho. And we're going to start our march from Amsterdam Boutique on 454 Broadway, and we're going to end it up on Shoemania up past in Houston.
Carolina Ferreira from the Retail Action Project, Annetta Bernhardt from the National Employment Law Project, and co-author of the new report, Working Without Laws. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. That advice for Toyota owners next.